preaching.
And you might want to thank God for it. Don't shuck it. Don't resort to some little prayer you prayed. If there's doubts in Bible preaching, if you're sitting there and there's doubts in your heart during Bible preaching, sound doctrine, you better embrace that doubt and face it. Look it in the eyes and thank God for it. That's right. Because it may be the Lord Jesus Christ that cares enough about you to say, listen, I want you to have this full assurance of salvation. And so, you know, I can just see people. I can just see people, you know, getting saved to go to heaven, getting saved to get out of hell. And those are good reasons to get saved, ladies and gentlemen. But nowhere in your Bible can you pin that down. You can pin down that you get saved from your sins. You can, because your sins is what's going to take you to hell. And imputed righteousness is what's going to take you to heaven. So I need him to impute that righteousness. He does not impute sin to me, but he imputes righteousness because his faith is in me. That's right. And so, let's go back to Galatians chapter number 2, and Lord willing, I'll be able to slow down and just give this thing to you. We'll read it one more time. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You're going to have to believe in Jesus and then faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I said earlier, that there's colleges and preachers and people as well that are using the lie. It's a cute little lie, but people like it, that the words don't matter, and the words do matter. They do matter. I mean, you can read it verse after verse after verse. And in this verse right here, you can see where your faith meets up with his faith. And that's, you know, Jesus imputes his righteousness at that point, at that point. But it ain't your faith. You can't have your faith. And so, Lord have mercy. But you can't have his without yours. You can't have his without first believing that he is. You can't have the faith of Christ without believing that he, first believing that he is. You got to believe that gospel. And then he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek. Listen, why does the Bible say there's none that seeketh after God? None. Does not Romans say there's none that seeketh after God? Ain't that what your Bible said? None seeketh after God. But then the Bible turns right around and says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's salvation. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he is near. But none seek after God. Not a contradiction nowhere in the Bible. Never does the Bible contradict itself. You have to read the Bible in its full context, and it explains itself. It commentates itself. It defines itself. Why does it say the two different sayings? Because number one, in your carnal, in your life, in your natural life, you don't seek after God. You're not interested in God. When the Word of God, the seed of God is sown into your heart, God gives you a desire. Not you. God gives you a desire to seek after him. When that Word is sown into the heart of a man, that seed produces a desire to seek after God, and that alone. If you're seeking after God beforehand, it's all self-willed. It's all about you. It's all about self. And so God says, there's none that seeketh after me. So since nobody seeks after him, how does God get you to seek after him? Put a desire in you. Amen. He has to sow that seed inside of a man to make a man hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. This little old cute lie, words, listen, these words ease wrath. You cannot contain the thoughts of God without the precise word of God. These words are, they just kind of take the, pressure off, but I'm not backing off from this book. I'm not going to change what it says. If you change one word, then you've changed it all. If you change one word, you take away the authority of the Word of God. If you take away the authority of the Word of God, what do you have? Why are you here? How are you going to raise your kids? How are you going to tell them right from wrong? There's nothing to stand on if you take away from this book. If you take one word from this book, you've changed it all. You can't change one jot, one detail. You can't move one comma, take away one period. You can't do none. You can't do it. You just got to leave it alone. I believe leave the page numbers alone. Amen. I know people would make fun of me for saying I don't give a flip. I believe leave the page numbers alone. That's right. I like it. I like the titles. I like the subtitles. I like it. I like every bit of it. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. You want to know why I preach like I do? I mean, why this? Why this? Why preach on those things like I did last week? Things. Remember, we preached on things contrary to sound doctrine. Because what you fail to preach is what's going to fill your life. If I fail to preach against NIVs, I promise you NIVs will creep in. If I fail to preach against fornication, fornication creeps in. If you fail to preach on adultery, adultery creeps in. Whatever you fail to preach on, when we delete that out of our message, when we take that away, that's the stuff that starts creeping in. You have to preach this. You have to preach on those things. That's right. I have to preach on them things to keep them things from creeping in. Listen to me. I don't want to get off on this because I don't fully understand it all myself. But I want you to understand the devil himself. You want to know the greatest place in the church where you're going to get off track with God? I mean, stop and think about this for a second and you'll have to agree. The number one place where you're going to miss God in church is in music. The number one place where the devil's going to come through a church is through its music. Because the Bible teaches us that the devil is a musical instrument himself. That's what he is, a musical instrument. He's into music, ladies and gentlemen. And he's crept in. And these churches have built these bridges. And how'd they build these bridges to connect one church to the other? Through music. It all come through music. Brother McVeigh stood up, talked about contemporary. I encourage everybody in here to get you some songs and sing for the Lord. But get you some of them old hymns. Leave this old contemporary junk alone. Make sure, thank God, that it's biblical sounding, theologically correct. Make sure that it's doctrinally sound. Amen. Some of them old songwriters, boy, some of them old hymn writers, they knew God. They believed that the perspired, infallible word of God, every drop of it, man, to be exactly right. And boy, they wrote their songs based on the word of God. You can't beat that. Why are you going to try to get something else when you already got the best and you can't beat that? You cannot beat a song that's doctrinally sound. Just can't beat it. Well, you know, you got to deal with this stuff because whatever you don't is what's going to fill your church. It's going to fill your life. I've often preached on things because I didn't want it to enter into my life. I've often preached hard on things because, boy, I'm telling you, it lays a demand on me to do that. It lays a demand in my life to live like that. And I'll preach it hard, buddy, because I want it right in my life. That's right. We don't sound the alarm and proclaim sound doctrine, then false doctrine will take over. Why you preach on salvation or doctrine of salvation? Because if you don't, false doctrine of salvation will take over. Is it not taking over in our land? Sure it is. Is it not taking over in the independent fundamental Baptist? I'm telling you something, church. If somebody asked me, if I was independent fundamental Baptist today, I would absolutely say no. I'm not an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm a Bible believer. That's what I am. I don't know a handful of independent IFBs anymore that are Bible believers. I just don't. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Most IFBs, independent fundamental Baptists today, believe that of Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ is the same thing, and yet they're the ones sitting there doubting their salvation. They've changed that word, and they'll run back to some perverted Greek and go, well, it's just the same thing, but we get an idea. Listen, no. I'm going to tell you something. Hell's in the Bible. It doesn't mean Sheol. Hell in the Bible does not mean Hades. Hell in the Bible means hell. Every time hell is mentioned, it means hell. Exactly what you think hell is. That's exactly what it is. That place of torment. It's a place of fire. It's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a fire forever and ever and ever and ever. And one day it will be taken and cast into the lake of fire in the heart of the earth. That's right. You think Jonah went to hell? You think it was a prophecy of Jesus? You ever read that? 3 days and three nights he spent in the belly, in the heart of the earth. Bible said he went to hell. Belly of hell. And then he was resurrected. Jonah went through the death, burial, and resurrection. He died, went to hell, and was resurrected and spit up on the shores of Nineveh. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of churches in our country today are falling by the wayside because their doctrines is wrong on this simple thing of salvation. Here it is. The Father said, if you will come to me and believe that I am God and diligently seek me. In Matthew, he said, seek him first. That's above everything else. First and foremost, number one desire, number one goal is to seek God. God said, when you do that, when you put me at that place, when I'm the most important thing to you, when it's me above all else, God said, guess what? I'm going to reward you. That's when when you get after God in that way and he'll give you that desire and you can't muster up that desire and you can't conjure up that desire. God's going to have to put that desire in you to seek him. But when you get in that condition, and hey, you think about that day you got saved, if you got saved, you think about that night you got saved, if you got saved, I'm going to tell you something, bud. I wanted church to be over. I didn't want church people in my way. I wanted to get out of church. I didn't want to run to an altar and have a bunch of people praying for me. I just wanted to get with God. You hear me? I wanted out of there so bad. I wanted to get somewhere and get along with God so I could do business between me and God, not me and Joe and God. It was just about me and God. Yeah. Amen. That was my number one goal. That was my number one desire. I got home. I didn't get home no time. I done got my wife and sent her to, I said, babe, won't you go up to the grocery store? Done fit, sent her up the food line. I just said, man, I gotta get out here and get along with God. That's right. Amen. Number one. I mean, man, more than anything in this world, I needed to get with God. That's right. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. For he, God, hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's pretty good, ain't it? How can I be made righteous? Because I have faith in Jesus? Nah. My faith will fail. See, I'll doubt God before the sun goes down. You let trouble come my way and you let some bills get piled up in my life and hey, Michael, I've been there 1,000 times, saved. I've been there saved, ladies and gentlemen, where bills was due and I didn't have the money and done everything in my power to work and take care of it, just didn't have the money. My bill was due yesterday and I still didn't have the money today. You know what I began to do, Kaylee? I began to wonder if God was going to take care of it. I began to doubt God. My faith. A saved man. I began to think, oh, what if God don't take care of this? What if God don't? My youngins would go into things. I mean, they'd get sick. And boy, what if God, in my back of my mind sometimes, in my faith, what if God don't touch my youngins? What if God don't help us? That old faith of mine would fail me. Amen. So how are we made righteous? Because God has put his seed in me, and the seed is Christ in my heart. He became sin for me, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. See, God took the seed. God took the seed. What's the seed? The Word. What's the Word? Jesus Christ is the Word. He became flesh and dwelt. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so God put that in my heart. And it's his faith that keeps me. God put that in me. And it's that that keeps me. When you're in him and he's in you, even if you were tonight to deny him, I've done got a good verse on that. Listen, Zach, I've denied him. I mean, I've doubted him. But ladies and gentlemen, even if you denied him, guess what? He cannot deny himself. The Bible said that God remaineth faithful and he cannot deny himself. Even when me and you fail, even when me and you have our issues, thank God, God's sitting over there going, hey, it's going to be all right. It's all right. I'm still on the throne. You're still saved. You're eternally saved. I got this. Lean on me. Trust in me. It's going to be okay. Amen. Even when I ain't strong, thank God, he cannot. When I deny him, he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Look back at Galatians 2:16. The middle part of that verse says, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus. See, when it's faith of instead of faith in, of is not an action word. It's not some deed that we've done, but rather something Christ has done. We put our faith in him. That's something we done. But then he turned around and done the rest of it. Boy, I hope that that's coming across. I done what I could do with my failing, faltering faith. I placed it in Jesus. Amen. That's here one day and maybe weak and broke down the next. But thank God that ain't where it stopped. When I did that, God has a greater faith and he put that in me. Amen. And sealed the deal. Amen. Sealed the deal. Amen. Amen. Well, many times in my life I've heard the argument that if it's not works, then why must I put my faith in Jesus? Because putting my faith in Jesus is a work. They said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? You've heard this argument. I'm just trying to talk to you about this doctrine, some things you probably heard and had to deal with. If it's not of works, lest any man should boast, then in my faith in him works? Isn't that something that I do? So is that what's going to save me? Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I have faith. I have faith in him. Don't matter if you got faith in him. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about your faith, he's trying to say. It's the faith that he has, that he put in you. That's not something that you did. Huh?
It's the gift of God.
It's the gift of God. It's that imputed righteousness. It's a gift that he gave you. Nothing that you did. So therefore, works is excluded. It's not your works. You can't say, well, I have faith in God. And that's what everybody does. And they go, man, I don't know if I'm saved or not. That's because you got saved by your works. You understand that? So when Jesus Christ does it, it's different. The devil has faith in Jesus Christ more so than most of us, but that's not what saves. It is the faith of Jesus, which is the gift, and his righteousness is imputed to us. And that's what makes the difference. And that's why the devil will never, never, ever be saved. God will never impute righteousness to Lucifer. That's a done deal. God will never put the faith of Jesus Christ in his heart. He can have all the faith in Jesus that he wants. And buddy, he's got some. More so than us. I mean, I'm telling you, he knows things. I mean, he goes and talks to Jesus. He runs up there and face to face and says, hey, what about old so? He's the accuser of the brethren. He goes up there before God and accuses us before God. That's how close he is to God. But yet he'll never get to go to heaven because God will never put the faith of his son in the devil's heart. Amen. Amen. Well, look at verse 17. If I don't hurry, I won't finish this evening. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law.
that I might live unto God. Then Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm dead. I'm a dead man. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of David Vernon. He said, I live by the faith of who? Of the Son of God. Amen. This ain't about me. It ain't about my faith. It's about the faith of the Son of God. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who liveth and abideth when? Forever. I'm forever saved, son. I am forever saved. Amen. Amen. These verses says that the life we as Christians now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, I'm crucified. That means he's dead. And if you're saved, that means you are dead. But yet, I'm alive. We're dead, but yet we're alive. But it's not me. But Christ liveth where? Where did that seed go? Where did I say that seed was planted? Where did he say to break up the fallow ground of what? The heart. Where did that seed get planted? My heart. Where did his faith meet my faith? In my heart. Where did his righteousness get imputed unto me? In here. And down in the inner beings of my soul. Amen. And now he said, the faith which I now live, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Boy, that's a blessing to me. I'm telling you. It's about him being in me. Jesus Christ. What does that say? You're dead, but you're alive, but it's not me that liveth, but Jesus that's in me. So that the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How in the world is all this possible? Because Jesus is in me. Jesus is in me. Amen. Jesus came. If Jesus came into your heart, you have become a new creation in Christ. Amen. That's it. Old things pass away. All things become new. Hey, listen. If you went to meet God, and someday you will. I'm just trying to wind this thing down. And if he asked you this question, why should you not go to hell? What if you went to meet God today? Maybe tomorrow, maybe in 20 years from now. But whatever it is, what if you stood before God, and this ain't what's going to happen, but I want you to ask yourself a question. What if God said to you, why should you not go to hell? What would your answer be? Lord, I've got faith in you. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures and see if you got it or not. He said, hey, Lord, because I've got faith, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So does the devils. They tremble. They believe in me so much it makes them tremble. Well, what would you say? David, Zach, Stephanie, why should I let you into heaven? I mean, what if you met God and God said, why should you go to heaven? What you gonna tell him? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, Lord, because the faith of the Son of God, amen. The faith of the Son of God, because he's imputed his righteousness unto me. It's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to your mercy, you saved me. Amen. You ought to be able to tell God why you deserve to go to heaven. You ought to be able to tell God why. Or a sinner, or anybody. You ought to be able to tell and quote scriptures as to why you shouldn't go to hell. Why you can't go to hell. Why you are going to heaven. And these are the scriptures to prove that stuff. Galatians 2:20 says this, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is a good verse. Hey, why should you go to heaven? Because Christ liveth in me. The life was, I'm crucified. Why shouldn't you go to hell? Because, God, I've been crucified with Christ. Pretty good answer, ain't it? You know what God's going to do? He's not going to honor you. He's not going to honor your daddy. I don't care who your daddy is. I don't care how great a preacher he is. I don't care how great of a person he is. He'll never honor your daddy.
I told my boys, I said, God put you in the hell so fast it'll make your head swim. He don't care if your daddy's a preacher. He don't care if I walk in holiness. He don't care if I walk in the spirit. He'll put you in the hell so fast it'll make your head swim. I'm going to tell you what God's going to honor. He's going to honor His Word. Amen. He's going to honor the fact that you can look at Him and say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God say, that's it, son. Amen. That's it. That's why you ain't going to hell. That's why you deserve to go to heaven, because my Son lives in you. Amen. Pretty good. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in what? Our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Son, you looking at an old broke down bag of flesh. This thing ain't about me. It ain't about us, but it's about Him. And I'm telling you what you looking at, a big pile of nothing that's got a big old blessed vessel, a blessing inside of an empty vessel that God can take and fill it and use it for His honor and for His glory. Amen. Just a big old vessel. Good for nothing but Jesus, amen, to take and use it for His honor and glory. Why should you not go to heaven? Because I have this treasure in this old earthen vessel, Father. God will go, you know what? That's my word. I'll honor that. Amen. Good reason why not to go to hell. I have this treasure in this earthen. Look at Galatians real quick. Chapter 3. Flip the page to Galatians chapter 3. I'm moving along. Verse number 19. Good scriptures, y'all. Doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of eternal salvation, not a doubting salvation, a full assurance. Wherefore then serveth the law? Verse 19, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by, what did I say the seed was? Alright. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You believe? Amen. Here's what happened. God gave a promise. In that passage, God gave a promise. The promise was the seed. And the seed is the word. And the Word is Jesus Christ, right? And He came. And when He came, His faith was perfect. You understand that? Contrary to what a lot of people believe, Jesus is Christ, and we're going to wrap this up. But Jesus Christ's faith was absolutely perfect. No flaws in Jesus' faith. And I'm going to prove to you why. Jesus' faith was absolutely, completely perfect. Amen. That was the promise, that seed. He even said when he was dying on the cross that it got so bad, watch this, when he was dying on the cross, Jesus said this about himself, that it got so bad that he would have even fainted had it not been for his faith. See, when he was on the cross, son, it was pretty rough. I promise you. And he had become sin for us. And he said even himself he would have fainted if it had not been for his faith. But while he was on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, he was still full of faith. He could not deny himself even on that cross. He knew that he was God. And he knew what the scripture said. And he knew just as well as Abraham knew when he carried Isaac up on that mountain. And he looked up at the old boys and said, y'all wait right here for me and the lad's going to go up here and worship. And we'll come back after a while. He knew
though God told him to sacrifice his son, that they was coming back together. He knew God would resurrect him. You think Abraham's faith was stronger than God's? No, friend. It wasn't stronger than the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross. Jesus said that if it hadn't been for faith, I would have fainted. But while he was here, all he had, ladies and gentlemen, was that Old Testament. You understand when Jesus was on the cross, the Old Testament was in his heart. He was the one that wrote it anyway, anyhow. He's the one that told them people what to say. But when Jesus was here on earth, Steve, what he had was the Old Testament. So what? The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word. And Jesus Christ was the Word. And he had that Old Testament. It was in his heart. And he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. But I'm telling you, Jesus was so right, it was pathetic. Up one side and down the other. I want you to pay attention. I'm going to see if I can slow down right here. Here's what happened. While he was here, he had the Old Testament. And he knew it up one side and down the other. But he knew all the promises of the prophets. He knew every promise they had ever made. He knew all their prophecies they ever prophesied. And as he thought of the Old Testament sacrifices, he knew that soon his time was coming to be that sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, before he ever went to Calvary, all he talked about was going to Calvary. He knew before Judas ever betrayed him, he knew that his time was coming. He knew that he came to be a propitiation for our sins. He knew he came to die. He knew all those promises. Don't you know, as he thought about dying on the cross, he would think of the Psalms. Amen. I know, buddy, when he got to hanging on that cross or thinking about dying on that cross, he would think about the Psalms. You remember what it said over there in the book of Psalms? I'm talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about looking death in the face, looking a mockery trial in the face. I'm talking about standing up there like no man's ever stood. Thank God all along. You know what he sat there and would think? He'll not leave my soul in hell. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, when he was on that cross, thank God. And I mean, he said, if it hadn't been for faith, I would have fainted. I guarantee you, he got to thinking, old Job over there. He said, I know that I'm going to be tried, but when I'm tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. And Jesus, thank God, I believe would take another breath. And the thought would cross his mind that one of these days, I'm going to stand and I'm going to see God in the flesh. I'm going to walk in the land of the living. He's not going to leave my soul in hell. Everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, but Jesus was secured in the Word of God. Never fainted, never faltered, never wavered. He never doubted. His faith never grew weak. He would cling to them promises and say, that's right. Amen. Old David said, I'll not leave a soul in hell. That God said that. Jesus said, that's right. Oh, I might go to hell, but he's going to take me out of here. Oh, he told it all along. He said, man, 3 days later, they'll tear this thing down, but 3 days later, I'll rebuild this temple. Don't you know, thank God, he was thinking about that Old Testament prophecy that he's going to rise again, the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had complete faith in what the scripture said. You say, why is that so important? Because that's the faith, ladies and gentlemen, that must be in the heart of the believer. To take away the doubts. That's the faith, son. The faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can count on Jesus not staggering on the promises of God. If Abraham staggered not, you can count Jesus wasn't going to stagger. You must understand that the gospel was a mystery. The gospel was a mystery. Do you know what the devil thought Jesus came to do? When Jesus came by the way of that manger. Do you know what the devil thought his purpose was? He thought he was coming to take over a kingdom. He thought Jesus was coming to get a crown. He thought Jesus was coming to be crowned king.
He didn't have a clue of the gospel. It was a mystery. It wasn't revealed to him. He didn't know that Jesus was coming to die. He thought for a thousand times, boy, we got him now. I mean, I could see him as he's beating Jesus. The devil was having a heyday. I could see it as he's on the cross. He was having a heyday. I'm telling you what was happening. Jesus Christ was fulfilling his Father's will and giving you and I a faith that would stand in the midst of hell. I'm telling you, it's just like that. If me and you went to hell today, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can laugh in the face of hell. You want to know why? Because the faith of Jesus in me says, I know this. I know he'll not leave my soul here. I know, thank God, he's going to take me out of here. I'm telling you, if you went to hell as a saved man, you can rest assured that Jesus Christ will come up out of there, and so will you, amen, if you're saved. That's the faith of Christ. That's what gives you that kind of faith. I'm so saved, I can't go to hell. I'm so saved, it's pathetic, son. I couldn't go to hell if I tried. If I did go to hell, I'd come up out of there. You hear me? It'd be a pleasant place to stay. That's right. I'm telling you that in the weakest moments of Jesus Christ's life, when he was crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you not see him on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can't you see the scriptures being fulfilled? And Jesus knew that the Father couldn't look upon that sin. Well, and Jesus was saddled in the faith of the precious word of God. Well, he knew. He just wanted you and I to understand what he had to go through to impute our righteousness unto us. Sure, he wanted us to understand how it was for him to die in our place. Sure. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith. Good verse, ladies and gentlemen. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Hey, Michael, people go, how do y'all stand?
I'm telling you, but we're criticized, buddy. They make fun of us. They call us old ignoramuses and country pumpkins because we stand on a salvation that's sure. I mean, but I'm telling you, they shun us because we believe in a positive and full assurance. And I tell you why I stand so dogmatic. Because, praise God, it's been spoken. I mean, as Jesus spoke it, he stood upon his word, and he spoke upon his word. So therefore, I say it's been spoken, and it gives me the dogmatic to stand and say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I pass from death unto life. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm so saved the devil can't do a thing about it. I'm so saved, thank God, that God can't change it. You hear me, is forever settled in heaven, amen. It's how saved I am. You say, what gives you the right? The word of God gives me the right. Jesus gives me the right. The faith of Jesus gives me the right. His imputed righteousness gives me the right to stand flat-footed and be dogmatic about a full assurance. Sure it does. We have in the same spirit of faith. Jesus Christ had it according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. I'm going to tell you why I say it, because I believe it. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Amen. It's what Jesus did. Jesus did it and gave us the same spirit. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Faith here in this verse is Jesus Christ. We're going to read it again. Faith is Jesus Christ. Look at it again. Knowing that. But before faith came, before Jesus came, that's right. That was the seed promised, right? Jesus Christ. That faith. The faith of Christ. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Before Jesus came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. What faith was going to be revealed? Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Later to be revealed. Because everybody else's faith kind of failed. So we had to have a perfect faith.
We had to have one that wouldn't fail. We had to have one that wouldn't falter. We had to have one that wouldn't doubt. We had to have one that could stand up and say, thank God, I know that I know. Who could do that besides the perfect, sinless Son of God? Nobody. Jesus. We were under the law. When Jesus Christ, He was that perfect faith that we never could achieve. A faith that could not fail. Jesus Christ kept every jot and every tittle. He's the only person ever been to ever fulfill the complete law of God. He fulfilled the entire law. He kept every jot, every tittle. Jesus Christ. You want to know why His faith is perfect? He's the only one that ever fulfilled that law. Amen. Nobody else could do it. Nobody ever fulfilled that law but the Son of God. And man, I'm talking about a perfect faith. He believed every word. He lived every word. He obeyed every word. He said, I come not to do my will, but the will of my Father. Amen. Well, he believed every promise of the Father. He was that faith waiting to be revealed. And when we diligently sought Him, ladies and gentlemen, when you diligently seek Him, He'll reward you with that faith to convert and keep your soul. That faith to convert and keep your soul. You'll be saved forever. No doubt about it. You'll be saved. And He brought us up out from underneath the law for our justification because we looked to Him for our justification. Before this faith came, we were kept under the law. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. All that, I'm just not reading the scriptures, but that's all in it. The schoolmaster brought us to Christ, the law. And He took us out from underneath that law, thank God, in His faith. When I was under the law, I was supposed to keep that law. But I came to realize I was nothing but a sinner that could only fail at achieving righteousness. And when I came to that place, God said, that's a good place. Amen. You understand the law is for the sinners? Sinners are the ones under the law, ladies and gentlemen, not saved people. Saved people's under grace. And that law, when I was a sinner, I came up underneath that law. And it was my duty to fulfill that law and follow that law and obey that law. You know what God done for me? One day He took that law and put it in front of me. And it showed me that I was an utter failure. It showed me that I was wicked and wretched and vile and undone. That I couldn't keep the law of God. There was never but one person that ever fulfilled that law. And His name was Jesus. And without Him I was damned and doomed. And without Him I didn't have a hope. But I'm telling you, thank God for the grace of God. When sin abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Amen. Grace walked in that courtroom that day when I stood there and faced up. The reality that I needed Jesus. I was who I was, and yes, I had faith. My faith failed me. Yes, I had faith, but my faith would doubt God. Sure. I had faith, ladies and gentlemen, but my faith would get up every once in a while and crack. I needed a faith greater than mine, and it was the one that fulfilled that law, that looked at the law and said, that's true. That's holy. That law is just. And fulfilled that law. The only person, you don't know who saved me? It was Jesus Christ. It wasn't by my works of righteousness. It wasn't by any fulfillment of the law that I'd done. I failed the law. That law proved that to me. And when I got to that place, God said, you know what, son? That's a good place. Because right here is where I can take that and add to your heart the faith of my son to change your life forever. Amen. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen, of knowing and not knowing. That's the difference between having a full assurance and a partial assurance. That's the difference between knowing without a doubt and having doubts. The faith of Jesus Christ will give you that full assurance. That little word change in there. See how important faith in Jesus varies from the faith of Jesus? I'm going to tell you, you better have faith in Jesus. You'll never get to the faith of Jesus without the faith in Jesus. They that come to me must first believe that I am. That's right. You're going to have to first of all believe that He is God and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And thank God that He'll give a desire in mind in your heart to seek Him first. And when you seek Him first, all these things will be added up. He'll just put these things in your life. Amen. It's a gift.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God. Amen. Now, here's what I was going to say. I told Zach.